A petition calling for compulsory retesting of older drivers has been signed by more than 250,000 people. It was started by Ben Brooks Dutton, whose wife was killed by an 82-year-old driver who had mistaken the accelerator for the brake and was travelling at a 54 mile an hour in a 20 mile an hour zone. Currently, people over 70 have to renew their licence every 3 years, but only to do so by filling in an assessment form. So that's a self-assessment. So you're basically saying, yes, I believe I am still fit. So should older drivers have to reset their tests? And if so, at what stage? How many times? Is it just a one-off? Robin Lees is 79 and is still behind the wheel. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning.
We're also joined by commentator and member of the Motorcycle Action Group. It sounds quite intriguing. Lembit Opik, good morning to you.
Good morning to you. That's right, Motorcycle Action Group, or MAG for short.
MAG, okay. So Lembit Opik from MAG. First of all, Robin, you're still driving. You're a keen driver. What do you reckon? Are older drivers a danger?
I don't think they are. I think if you were to test the whole range from 30 onwards and test them by age groups, you'll probably find there was very little difference in the age groups and the ability to drive, the quality of driving. You get failures in all age groups, but I don't think the over 70s would score any worse than anybody else.
And what about yourself and your own driving, Robin? Do you feel your ability, are you as sharp as you were before whenever you are driving? Does it fatigue you quicker? Has your ability to drive changed over the years?
My reaction time is slow, but that is a known fact that the reaction time is slower. But then again, older drivers compensate by assessing the situation. You judge the situation because it comes up. It's a known fact that younger drivers anticipate quicker, they react quicker, whereas an older driver, he anticipates the situation and he allows for it. How often have you seen younger drivers would race up to the traffic lights and brake at the last minute? If I was approaching the traffic lights and saw them change to red, I would take my foot off the accelerator and let the car run up to the lights.
Okay, well, Lembit Opik, what do you reckon?
That he's right in the sense that younger drivers have better reactions and tend to be a bit more impetuous. I speak from experience. I wrote my parents' car off when I was 18, not because of a lack of ability, but a lack of common sense. And that maybe changes when you get older. But the other thing that happens is your reaction times increase. It's just a biological fact. The problem for motorcyclists, for example, is the accidents we call SMIDSEs. That's sorry, mate, I didn't see you. And it's just going to be the case that older drivers have perhaps not such good vision, slower reaction times, and could creep out and wipe out a motorcyclist or indeed some other road user, perhaps even a pedestrian, because they just haven't got the same biological presence that you have when you're young. That's how we're designed. I don't think it's a bad idea to introduce some kind of non-self-assessment process.
What would you introduce if it was up to you, Lambert? Would there be a particular age, and when you hit that age, you then had to go and reset?
Yeah, it would be data-based. I would put it at around 65, but that's negotiable.
Data-based? What do you mean?
I haven't looked at it to the level that you'd have to in order to introduce legislation. But I mean, looking at reaction times and looking at the accident statistics, I'd put it about 65, maybe 70. And at that point, in an ideal world, I wouldn't make people resit the test formally. I'd have a more informal assessment, but by a qualified instructor, a qualified examiner. Now, you could get into all kinds of wrangles with that because people would say, well, that was right, that was wrong. So maybe it would have to be a bit more formal. But I think it's reasonable. So the gentleman who's on the radio with me now, I'm sure you pass. That wouldn't be a problem. Other people might not be so good and are a danger to themselves and others, and they may not pass. That leads to other problems, maybe a loss of independence and so forth. But ultimately, maybe that's a price worth paying if you're saving the lives of motorcyclists and others.
Well, Robin, would you be up for a reset, or would you have been offended if when you hit 65 you were asked to go and do your test again?
No, I would submit myself to the test any time. I have no fear of doing the test. But I think you're putting the country to a lot of unnecessary expense. And I think it would logistically be very, very difficult test these people. I mean, at the moment, you couldn't do it because you wouldn't have the testers in place. You wouldn't have sufficient. You'd have to train up testers, which would take time. There'd be a cost element. And I think, while I don't think that age comes into it, I accept the other gentleman's point of view. It's perfectly valid, and it's a known fact that as you get older, your reaction times get slower.
But you don't think age should be taken into it, though, Robin?
No, not really.
Well, there is a fair point, Lambert, because there are some people that maybe should resit their tests in their 30s, 40s and 50s. Gareth from the programme here, if you've ever seen him trying to parallel park, I'm not even joking. I watched him try to parallel park a Mini, which had parking sensors front and back. It's like he drives like a soft top. And it literally took him 10 minutes. The most basic type of thing. So there can be bad drivers, Lambert, is my point, no matter what age you are.
That's absolutely right. And we could get into some big sexist argument about whether women can park or not. So this isn't going to be absolutely rigorous. It's involving what's called actuarial risk. Actuarial risk looks at the likelihood, the probability of a certain event occurring. And actually, we do have a precedent for this. We don't have to reinvent it. Because when I used to be much better off than I am today, I have a pilot's license, and I used to have to go through a test regularly. It's now every couple of years where you go up with an examiner and you go through your paces. Everybody in the aviation world thought that was reasonable. Commercial pilots have to do it even more often.
Okay.
Now, obviously, the stakes are far higher. For car drivers, the principle could apply. And as Robin says, he wouldn't be frightened of resitting the test. Maybe it costs money, but if it saves lives, that's a good calculation, and most motorcyclists would agree with that.
Okay, well, let's see what you think at home this morning. Caller Edwin, we'll come back to you in a second, Robin. Edwin in Carrickfergus, go ahead. What do you reckon?
I'm 71, and I wouldn't have any problems at all about going for a retest or anything like that.
Even if it cost you a few quid?
Well, yeah, if it cost me a few quid, if I pass, I get my few quid back.
Okay, so if you fail, you don't.
If you fail, you don't get your money back, and you have to reset your test.
You're 71.
Yes.
And how do you feel your driving has changed? Do you think? I guess the real question I'm trying to ask: are you a better driver now than you were when you were, say, 50, or is it the other way around?
I would say I'm a more cautious driver. Better, I don't know, but I'm certainly a more cautious driver.
How do you be more cautious? Surely all drivers should be cautious.
Of course they should be, but you're more alert. You can think ahead more so than some of the younger drivers.
You're more alert at 71 than you were at 50.
No. I'm more wary, shall I say. I would do my test again tomorrow. It wouldn't bother me at all, and I think I would pass it. One of the earlier speakers said about the younger drivers shooting up the traffic lights. Unfortunately, whenever it's a younger driver or an elderly driver involved in an accident, unfortunately, it seems to be the younger drivers who have more fatalities than the older drivers.
Yeah.
Through lack of experience.
Well, maybe, Edwin, it's ageist to even ask this question, because we could then flip it the other way around and say, well, look, when you're in your 20s or in the first 10 years that you have your test, you have to undergo an assessment, say, for example, every year, because, you know, the statistics show in terms of how younger drivers behave and that sense of, you know, they think that in terms of an accident, it won't be them, it'll be somebody else. So would you be behind that?
We have our drivers here in Northern Ireland, right?
Yes.
I would say at the end of the year, before they get a full licence, if they did the test, I would say the majority of them would fail.
Why do you say that?
Because I'm an ex-driving instructor.
Right. But why would they fail? Surely if they get their test.
Because they get all their habits. They've had 12 months of habits. And in order for them to pass at the end of the year, their habits would let them down. One of the habits, I don't want to pass disparaging remarks about taxi drivers.
Careful taxi drivers. Now.
Taxi drivers are very good drivers, but they have a habit of driving along with their hand in the gear lever. That would automatically fail them in a test.
What's wrong with that?
You should have both your hands on the steering wheel.
Ten and two.
Sorry?
Ten and two. 10 p.m. and 2 p.m. That's what I was told. Is that
yes,
wrong?
That's correct. Yes, you should both. You, at all times, you should have both hands on the steering wheel unless you're changing gear or applying your handbrake or anything like that.
But surely, Edwin, though, if you have habits in the first year of your test, you're going to have them in 10 years. That's what it is. It's a habit. So,
but that's what I'm saying. If they were a young experienced driver, if they were asked after their arch plate was up, if they were asked to do their test 12 months after they passed their test, I would say that quite a lot of them, I would say the majority of them would fail.
Okay, Edwin, thank you. Robin, you wanted back in there. Go ahead.
I think we're looking at this from the wrong point of view. Let's examine for a moment what the Ministry of Transport driving test does. It examines your ability to control a vehicle under certain traffic considerations. Can you park? Can you reverse around a corner? Can you position yourself correctly at traffic lights and junctions? That sort of thing. We could call that technical ability. I don't think that technical ability is the cause of road death. I think the cause of road death is driver responsibility.
No.
Now, what's driver responsibility? Exceeding the speed limit, excessive speed, driving too close, aggressive overtaking, aggressive use of junctions. The gentleman who killed the lady who brought this discussion up, he was doing 50 in a 20-mile-an-hour zone. That's driver responsibility.
But
the driving, the government driving test wouldn't detect that fault.
I guess you could assess it that when we are different ages, we are maybe more prone to more different errors in terms of what we do. So, for example, the perception that younger people speed more, older people maybe drive too slow and are overly cautious. I want to talk to Rose. Good morning, Rose.
Good morning.
Am I allowed to say what age you are?
Yeah, you can.
Okay, I'll just be polite here and ask you. You took lessons to refresh your skills when you turned 70.
I did, yeah.
Why?
Well, I'd passed my driving test when I was 17, and I thought, things have got to have changed by now, moved on. And I discovered that you don't have to do half the things now that we have to do. For instance, we used to have to do a 3.10. You can do it in 10 movements now. We used to have,
can you? What's the point in that?
Well, exactly. You had a choice. You have a choice now of parallel parking, reversing around the corner, or doing the 10.10. We had to do all of that in our tests. Now you've got a choice. Now, my grandson is a good driver, but when he parks my car, I need a taxi to get to the pavement.
Look, parallel parking is tough, Rose, to be fair.
It's not if you do it properly.
Well, you want to see Gareth, producer Gareth here, trying to park his convertible Mini. It's nearly impossible. It's actually quite funny to watch him try and do it. But Rose, I think, like, when I think of my grandmother, she was known in her housing estate as Mrs. Rev, because she was fond of the accelerator.
Unfortunately,
she had the clutch.
I did get ticked off about speed.
You see, we all have these little things.
Yeah.
She unfortunately, when she was using the accelerator a lot, still had her foot in the clutch. So, but I remember getting into the car beside her one day. This is years and years ago. She passed away in 2004. So this is a long time ago. And I got into her Renault and I was putting my seatbelt on. I was in the passenger seat and I noticed that the passenger wing mirror was folded in. Totally folded in, and I said to her, "Granny, do you want me to fold that out so you can see out that wing mirror?" And she looked at me with this look of disgust and said to me, "What are you talking about? That's the wing mirror for the passenger. That's nothing to do with the driver." And I thought, I put my seatbelt on as quick as I could, and I thought that she was totally sure. And that goes back then, I think, to the suggestion there of our habits. And when we get things into our head, like people that don't use indicators, it drives me completely doolally.
It does me.
But you see, we all have these habits, Rose.
Yeah.
If they said to you, Rose, when you turn 70, you have to do a test again because we're not quite sure if you're still sharp enough to be on the road, would you have been offended?
No.
Well, there we go. Okay.
Right.
Yes,
yeah.
Go ahead, Lambert.
Just a very short one. One of the things that bikers are frightened of is you're riding up towards a junction. You think the guy's looking straight at you in the car. And then they pull out anyway because they haven't seen you. That's the sort of thing that can happen as your eyesight deteriorates. Fundamentally, there may be a cost, but what motorcyclists are saying, and what I would say is, it's a small cost but it's a very big price if he kills someone, and that hangs over the person who's caused it as well. So that's really the decision, and ultimately I think it's probably worth the cost in order to save the lives. Most bikers would say that.
A fair point. Regardless of what the accident is, you would, although it would be tough if you lost your license, you want to be told that you're not fit to drive if you're not fit to drive. Let's go to a few more calls before the end of the programme. Billy in Belfast. Go ahead, Billy.
Well, I don't see why the government wants to test you when you get older. They want you to work till you're 67.
Right.
It doesn't matter what you work at, as long as you work to pay for your pension. And as far as I'm concerned, it's not the old people that's causing the majority of accidents. It's the younger drivers. The cars are faster now. Young drivers like to pass their tests and get out and do wheelies and do this and that.
Wheelies?
But it's unfair. And I don't know funny why you have statistics in this about old people in accidents and young people in accidents.
Well, there's a mixture when you look at that, because obviously young people at any age can cause accidents. And then, as I was referring to earlier, in terms of the reason behind it, if you speed too fast, if you're inexperienced, if you're overly cautious, if you have bad eyesight, and these things can be then, you know, attached to certain age groups.
Well,
and it's not actually, just to go back to your point about the government wanting to do this, this is actually a petition that's been started by a man called...
Yes, I heard that.
Yeah, so, you know, whether this happens or not, I don't know.
Robin's talking about eyesight there on a motorbike, right?
Yes.
You can have the best eyesight you have and a motorbike can be hid behind a flipping lamppost.
Yeah.
Or anything coming up the road. Unless you see it, unless there's his headlights on.
Okay, Billy, I'm just going to rush through a few more calls to get some people on. Mark in Cookstown. Go ahead, Mark, very briefly.
Hi, Vinny.
Good morning. Go ahead.
It's Mark in Belfast here. Vinny, did I...
Sorry, Gareth will meet Cookstown. Sorry, go ahead, Mark.
Vinny, I think it's younger ones that are more on sensible on the road than the older ones. The older ones sort of give you time, you know. But why don't they bring in a thing like the driver's have to do? If you're a HCV driver, you have to do like a CPC course every 5 years. And it's a competence test, basically, just to show what you do on the road and what you don't do on the road, you know.
Yeah.
Why don't they bring something like that for, you know, the car drivers? If you're a truck driver and you don't have that course behind you, you can't drive your lorry on the roads.
Well, this is it. And it goes back to Lambert's point about safety. For some reason, producer Gareth has come in here, Mark, to interrupt you. So sorry about that.
I just come in.
First of all, Mark was
myself.
Not in Cookstown. Why did you write Cookstown on
that? I didn't.
That?
It comes up on the system. Apologies, Mark. I'm just in to defend myself.
Yes.
How's your nice car?
My car's fine.
Any marks on it?
There is one mark on my car.
How'd that get there?
I don't want to talk about it.
How did it get there?
I was...
Were you trying to reverse?
I was...
Did you hit something?
I did, but I feel I need to explain what it was, but I don't want to talk about it, but it makes it sound worse. I reversed in my driveway into a wheelbarrow, which was hidden in a big, stupid, large plant. So there you go, and... And I was upset at the time, if that makes any difference. I don't think it does. Robin Lees and Lambert O'Pick, thank you. Thanks for that, Gareth. I must post that video of you trying to park that Mini online.